The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Gin Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are back again with another week. We are on to week 10. Where is the season going? It is absolutely flying by. We're only a couple of weeks from the greatest week of the year of the Thanksgiving Day slate. It's only a few more weeks away. But, before we get there, we'll get to week 10. And, I think this week is going to be interesting. I think there's a lot of good games here on this week's slate. And hopefully it's better than last week because I don't think anybody saw the 9-6 barn burner that was the Bills and Jags with the Jags losing and, all the other terrible games there were on that slate. So we're on to a new week. Maddie, back again, as always, riding with me. How you doing today?
Doing good, man. I agree. I kind of like this slate. I think that there's a handful of spots that I'm already dialed into and that we can talk about. But just from a pretty much a first look here on Thursday at the slate. I think that, there's some spots to really like that stand out. Maybe kind of obvious from, looking at Vegas totals and all that, but we can definitely dive into it and kind of talk more in detail here.
Yeah. So as always, let's just go ahead and jump into it. We go position by position. And we start off with the quarterbacks this week. And I think there's some good options here on here. We got Kyler Murray. Not sure yet if he's going to play or not, but he's 8K. Josh Allen at 7,900 against the Jets. Tom Brady, 7,600. Justin Herbert, 7,300. Aaron Rodgers, who's likely going to get cleared from COVID in time to play Sunday at 7,100. Dak at 6,900. Russ should be back this week. Thank goodness at 6,700. Jalen Hurts at 6,500. Ryan Tannehill at 6,200. Kirk Cousins at 6,100 and Matt Ryan at 6K. To me, this week is pretty straightforward in terms of quarterbacks and the games that I want to target, but where do you come in?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be off the beaten path here too much. Up at the top, I'm out on Kyler Murray this week, whether he plays or not. 8K for a guy with a bum ankle that's likely to not play. I think we can just go ahead and cross him off the list. So that leaves for me Josh Allen, the highest priced quarterback that I'll have exposure to. The interesting note for me looking at Josh Allen last year against the Jets, his two highest rushing yardage totals both came against the Jets. So, you know, last week we picked out that Joe Burrow's two highest passing attempt totals came against Cleveland last year. This go around this week, Josh Allen, looking at his games last year, he threw for over 300 yards in both games against the Jets and had 57 and 61 rush yards against them, which were his two highest totals. So definitely worth, you know, paying up for 7,900 for Josh Allen. I think this Bills offense has a get right spot here against the Jets. They've for whatever reason, the last couple of weeks, the A dot, you know, Josh Allen's just not pushing the ball downfield as much as he was at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I think that at some point that's going to change, and we're going to see an explosion of this Bills offense eventually. So, you know, 7,900, probably at lower ownership. I do like him. Tom Brady, 7,600, you know what you're getting from Tampa Bay. And this week it's easy to pick the wide receivers with him because, you know, there are a lot of injuries there in Tampa Bay. So very easy to stack up Tom Brady against the pass funnel Washington defense that's been absolutely horrendous against the pass this year, but has been pretty good stopping the run. So I do like Tom Brady at 7,600. The Minnesota Chargers game is at the very top of my list in games to stack. We talked about last week with the Chargers and the Eagles, how those teams were ranked fourth and sixth in pace and why that was such a game to stack up. And that ended up being the game stack of the week. You know, if you played Herbert and Keenan Allen and those guys from that game, Devontae Smith, you know, you were probably near the top of leaderboards with that stack. And it's more of the same this week with this Chargers-Minnesota matchup. The Chargers rank ninth now in pace of play in neutral situations, and Minnesota ranks fifth. So it's two teams that are going to play fast, continue to play fast, and two teams that play into each other's hand. Minnesota's been very bad at allowing deep passing this year, and so I think we finally see Mike Williams have a big game here when it's been not the Mike Williams show over the last few weeks. So I do like this game. You know, we'll talk about the running backs, but, I mean, can't get a better matchup for Dalvin Cook on the other side. So it really makes you really like the Herbert side from the QB position in this game, and then stacking up, you know, maybe Dalvin or one of the pass catchers from Minnesota. I don't really see myself getting to Kirk Cousins, even though that game is going to be a shootout, hopefully. And then from there, it's really, really hard not to like the Dallas and Atlanta game as well. Those two games come in with totals of 53 and 54. So, I mean, they're the highest totals of the week. They're both going to play, both games are going to play fast. Dallas ranks first in situation neutral pace, and then Atlanta ranks third. So you're looking at first and third for Dallas, Atlanta, and you're looking at fifth and ninth for Minnesota, LAC. So it's two games, man, that I just think it's stupid to fade both of them. I think you need pieces from both, and they're the two highest total games of the week for a reason. And possibly big news that, you know, may go overlooked is the fact that Randy Gregory got injured in practice today and is going to be out for multiple weeks for the Cowboys defense. I mean, they're already without DeMarcus Lawrence, and getting pressure on the quarterback has really helped that secondary to be, you know, kind of play better than what they should be playing. But without Randy Gregory getting pressure, I think quarterbacks on the other side can have the ability to sit in the pocket and kind of pick apart this defense a little bit more than what we've been accustomed to this year. And this Atlanta offense has been putting up points. I mean, they scored a bunch of points on New Orleans last week, and New Orleans has had a very good defense this year. So I think that game is going to have monster shootout potential, and really, really like Dak Prescott here. And I think, you know, coming off of an absolute dud against Denver last week. I mean, they had 0 points until like 8 minutes left in the game or something ridiculous. It was 30 to nothing. So Dak Prescott was still in there in garbage time. He's healthy enough that they were letting him play in a 30-0 game. So I don't know why they were doing that, but I guess they felt like maybe after a couple weeks off that he needed to continue to knock some rust off. But other than that, I really like that game, but the Green Bay-Seattle game I think is interesting as well. I'm not sure I'll get there with a full stack. I may just end up going with one-off pieces there because you can generally get all of the Rodgers production with Adams and then all of the Russ production with one of Metcalf or Lockett. So that's probably going to be a one-off scenario for me. Curious to hear what your thoughts are on that. Because Russ, I mean, Russ is pretty cheap. He's only 6,700. And I think that's the cheapest we've seen him in a while. So definitely curious on your thoughts on that game. If you think it's worth stacking up, because I mean, it's not going to play at the same pace that these other games are. I mean, Seattle ranks 12th in neutral pace and Green Bay ranks 28th. So we know, I mean, we've seen it over the last couple of weeks, Green Bay will slow down and play at a snail's pace to try to keep opposing offenses off the field. So do you like that game? I mean, it's got a 49 total. Do you think it's a fully stackable game, or are you like more aligned with me where you think, you know, maybe you can just get these high dollar one-off pieces and feel like you're capturing most of the offense?
I mean, I think it depends on how many lineups you're entering. And, you know, I think if, you know, you're looking at single entry and, you know, three entry max stuff like that, I don't think you have to get there. I think you could, but, you know, I think in larger field stuff, you know, I don't mind taking a shot on Russ. I mean, this is the cheapest he's been all year. I mean, he's been above 7K in the five games that he had played up to this point. So, I mean, this is the cheapest we've seen him. Twice he was at 7K. And so I'm not really all that concerned with the – I don't think a lot of people were going to play Russ because of the injury and stuff like that. So typically I think people are going to wait. But, I mean – it's hard not to have some interest in an Aaron Rodgers versus Russell Wilson type game. I mean, this game environment could end up really shooting out and really going over that big time. And so I will probably have, a couple of stacks here and there of Russ or Aaron Rodgers. I don't mind either one of them. But I prefer some of the other games, I think, a little bit more. I definitely agree. I absolutely love Justin Herbert at 7,300. He is so boom or bust. He has multiple games this year of, 25, 30 DK points. And then he has some that are at, 12, 13. Like, he's very boom or bust. And, but he can absolutely bury you if you're not on the right side of where he's at. And this is not really a matchup against Minnesota that I'm all that concerned with. I know if you kind of look at some of the numbers, it looks like Minnesota has been decent against the pass this year, but it's not really the case. If you look at some of the matchups they've had, they didn't really need to throw the ball in that game. And, they've been able to hold teams like, the Lions and stuff like that. And so it's kind of brought down their numbers. They've allowed over 300 passing yards, I think, three times this year, obviously good quarterbacks. Kyler Murray almost got there as well. So I'm not all that concerned, with targeting them with Justin Herbert. It looks like Keenan Allen is now, the main target there. Once again, where it was kind of looked like earlier in the year, it was – Mike Williams, which is weird what they've done with Mike Williams, because it's almost like they – like to start the year, they were putting him everywhere. He was running really a refined route tree. Now he's not. Like, he's back to just being the go route guy, the deep threat, and that's it. And I don't really understand why they're doing it, but that's what they're doing, and, allowing Keenan Allen to eat underneath. And so, pairing him with Keenan Allen is definitely the move. I've actually, ran that stack for multiple weeks in a row, and I had a lot of Justin Herbert to Keenan Allen last week. But so I am with you there. In terms of, I agree with all the other quarterbacks you mentioned. I'm absolutely going to have some Dak Prescott. There's no way I'm not going to, have some exposure to this Dallas Atlanta game. This game could absolutely go nuts. But talking about some other guys that I think that are, under 6K, I like Carson Wentz against Jacksonville. I know, what Jacksonville's did to Buffalo. I don't expect it to happen again. And Carson Wentz has been playing fantastic over the last, 5 or 6 weeks. If you really look at him, he's had two or more touchdowns in six straight weeks. And so, he's getting there with that. He's had a little bit of rushing production as well, started to come alive a little bit. So I don't mind targeting Carson Wentz where people probably aren't really going to play him because of all the other options that are above him. He's 5,900. And then a couple other guys that I kind of want your opinion on, because I think they're both viable. One is Taylor Heinicke. If you look at Taylor Heinicke, in this matchup, they're going to have to throw the ball because, they're playing Tampa Bay. teams are forced to throw it. He has a decent little ceiling. I mean, we've seen it multiple times this year. He has 24, 23, 27, 22. Like, it's not necessarily elite production, but I think that at 5,400, you know, if you want to stack him with, Terry McLaurin, I think you could do that. And then, you know, and I think that's a way to get a little bit different this week of playing somebody like him. And he does have the ability to use his legs as well. Like, he's not just a pocket passer. He is somebody that has a little bit of upside. He had the game earlier in the year where he had 95 rushing yards. Currently on the season, he's ninth in carries. He's also sixth in rushing yards with 232. He has one rushing touchdown. So he has a little bit of upside there as well. So I don't mind him. And then I think Teddy Bridgewater is also interesting against Philadelphia. And also another defense you can really pass the ball against. He is only 5,500, having kind of a big bounce back spot, this past week. But I mean, he's also kind of the same boat where he's had multiple games this year of over 20 DK points, and he's only 5,500. Do you have any interest in either one of those guys, or is that just too thin for you?
I think Heinicke's on the thin side for me, because I think if Heinicke's going to smash, then that means McLaurin's going to smash, and nobody else really is. So I'd rather just play Terry and get my Heinicke exposure that way, and play Brady on the other side.
Because it's looking like they're going to get Logan Thomas and Curtis Samuel back. So this will be kind of the first time he'll have all of his weapons.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it. If I was running 20 teams, I'd say, you know, maybe run one team with that. But, being more of a 3-inch max, I think that's just going to be too thin for me. I do like Teddy, though. I played him last week. It didn't work out because, I mean, Dallas didn't really put up points on the other side. So they just ran the ball the entire game. I mean, Javonte Williams set his career high in touches last week with zero receptions, if that tells you anything on how game flow went for Denver. But yeah, I mean, Teddy's been rock solid all year long. Like, he's been a very, very, solid production, fantasy production for cheap price tag. He's got that 20 to 25 point upside, especially if this game shoots out a little bit, which, I mean, the Denver defense hasn't been great this year. I'm chalking up last week as a fluke against Dallas. I don't think this Denver D is just going to sit here and continue to shut out, good offenses. And we've seen this Philly offense, they've been hit or miss with a lot of late production in games, but some garbage time. But I mean, Jalen Hurts, they showed some life last week, in that game against the Chargers. So, yeah, I mean, I don't hate Teddy at all. I think he's been a very interesting play all year so far. And I mean, my only concern is you can run all over Philly. They're one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. So if the Broncos want to just commit to Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams all game long, they definitely have the ability to do that. But yeah, I think that game is definitely interesting. What's the total on that game? That game is a 45.5, which is interesting. You would think it would be a little bit higher than that.
I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not like great either. I mean, there's better spots. I mean, it is one of the really lower totals on the slate.
Yeah, I think just looking at the slate, like, I'd rather get exposure. I'd rather game stack Dallas, Atlanta. I'd rather just mega stack Tampa Bay, mega stack Buffalo, mega stack Indy against Jacksonville. LAC Minnesota, I'd rather game stack that. Green Bay Seattle, I'd rather game stack that. Yeah, I mean, I just think there's, six or seven other better spots than that Denver Philly game, especially with, like I said, the Broncos. If they want to just run the ball the entire game, they probably can, because Philly just plays, too high shell and just lets you run and keep everything underneath and prevents deep plays. So it would have to be more of a volume game for Teddy, and I just don't know that that's going to get there.
Yeah. I personally, I think that because I've seen a lot of people around the community talk about, Teddy Bridgewater being a viable. And I don't hate him, but I think I would rather just get some pieces from this game rather than full-on stacking this game.
I agree.
So, anyways, other than that, do you have any other quarterbacks you want to hit on, or do you want to jump over to running backs?
Nope. I'm glad you brought up Wentz. I definitely think that Indy offense is interesting, especially because Jacksonville's been a pass funnel this year. So definitely on board with a Wentz stack as well.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump over to the running back position. Kind of a lot of interesting spots. Christian McCaffrey made it through last week unhinged. And obviously, it was not his best performance we've ever seen. But he's still, I mean, what is it, like 14 and a half DK points. I had a lot of exposure to Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to have a lot of exposure again this week. He's only 8,400. He can easily outdo that. And then you have Alvin Kamara, who's 8,200. You have Jonathan Taylor, who's 8,100. Dalvin Cook, who's 8K. Najee Harris, who's 7,900 against Detroit. That he's going to be chalky as all get out, with rightfully so. Austin Eckler at 7,600. Nick Chubb, who is 7,400, who is on the COVID protocol. We'll have to see if he can clear. He is vaccinated. He can, with two negative tests within 24 hours, be cleared. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. They spoke today that they're going to try to do whatever they can to get him back if possible for this game. If not, it would be D'Ernest Johnson. And then from there, you have Zeke at 7K, Aaron Jones at 6,900. DeAndre Swift at 6,800, CPAT at 6,600, James Conner 6,300 without Chase Edmonds, James Robinson at 6,200, Leonard Fournette at 6,100, and Damian Harris at 5,900. So running back this week, I think it's actually really an interesting week for running backs because I think there's a lot of different directions you can go here. A lot of these guys are kind of bunched up. There's no, you know, 10K Christian McCaffrey or anything like that. So Are you all in on Christian McCaffrey again this week, or are you looking to go somewhere else like an Alvin Kamara or Jonathan Taylor?
I think I'm just going to go back all in. I mean, we paid 8K for him last week, and we got 19 opportunities. Like, if you're going to get 19 Christian McCaffrey opportunities at 8K, you're going to – like that, yes, please. Because, I mean, usually you pay 10K for 30, right, with, you know, 10 of those being targets. I mean, only being 8,400 against Arizona without, you know, possibly Kyler Murray and all those guys on the Arizona side. I mean, I guess the concern is, do we know if PJ Walker is just going to dump it off over and over again to McCaffrey? But I mean, he has to, right? They don't have that offense has been so abysmal trying to get the ball down the field. Like, they're going to feature McCaffrey and it's going to be just be more of design plays as opposed to just dumping it off like Sam Darnold would. So, yeah, I think you have to have interest in McCaffrey, you know, as the highest priced guy on the slate. And it, I mean, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to play him. And just, like I said, not really overthink it. I mean, there are other guys up there. Like you mentioned, there's a ton of guys at the top that, you know, make you kind of hesitate to click that button at 8,400 on CMC. And one of them is Dalvin Cook at 8K against the Chargers. I mean, we talked about that game. We've always talked about how LAC is one of the best rushing matchups in the NFL, 29th in adjusted line yards, 26th in second level yards, 21st in open field yards. So definitely a great spot for Dalvin. It's a team that wants to commit to the run. You know, and Dalvin's got a lot of, you know, off field things going on right now. And, you know, that can bring out a lot of, you know, energy, you know, focus energy that you exert, into the game. You run, maybe he runs a little bit harder. I don't know. I think that they're just going to heavily feature Dalvin in this game because the matchup calls for it and it's a good spot for him. So, Dalvin Cook at 8K is very interesting. You mentioned Najee Harris. I mean, he's been one of the best PPR running backs in the league this year, in terms of fantasy production. Very hard to not like him at Detroit against Detroit, despite that $7,900 price tag. Austin Eckler in that same game that we just talked about, Minnesota and LAC being very high paced. Austin Eckler has been a great running back all year long, only 7,600. Zeke, I think, is interesting. He got a little bit banged up in that last game and didn't really need to play much because they were losing 30-0. And that's a matchup, you know, against Atlanta. Atlanta's 19th in adjusted line yards and 16th in second level yards. So maybe if you're not running a Dak team and you want exposure to Dallas, I definitely think Zeke is interesting. despite him sharing the backfield with Tony Pollard. I mean, just, you know, week eight and week six, he had 6 and 9 targets. So if that game does turn into a shootout, there is potential, you know, for him to see, you know, more than a handful of targets in this game. So definitely like him. I mean, even Aaron Jones is interesting against Seattle in a game that could potentially shoot out. He's under 7K, I think, for the first time. Pretty much this, it's like the second time all year. So definitely have interest in Aaron Jones. We talked about that Atlanta-Dallas game. I mean, CPAT, 6,400. I mean, this guy is just going to continue to be one of the heavily utilized pieces in that offense, especially with Calvin Ridley no longer there. So I definitely like CPAT. James Conner, what do we do with James Conner? You know, the matchup's not great against Carolina, but I mean, we saw last week that he's going to get probably, you know, 65 to 70% of the touches, as opposed to when Chase Edmonds was there, he was only getting 45%. You know, Eno Benjamin is going to get a little bit of run, but I mean, Chase Conner's still going to get the bulk of the touches here. Michael Carter, he's 5,600. He gets Mike White back this week. And he had 23 targets in 2 games with Mike White. So 5,600 for a guy that could see, you know, 12 targets at the running back position is very, very intriguing. And then outside of that, if we get no Nick Chubb, you just go ahead and lock button D'Ernest Johnson at 4,700. I mean, he's pretty much going to play every snap at running back for them, like we saw a couple weeks ago when they were without Chubb and Hunt. So definitely like D'Ernest as a lock play if we get the news that Nick Chubb is going to miss.
So, and I think there's obviously another situation we're going to have to monitor. Alvin Kamara has not practiced so far this week. He's dealing with an injury. So if he were to miss, then that probably leads you towards Mark Ingram, who's only 4,500. So that would be another value play that opens up.
I wish it would be Tony Jones.
Yeah. Well,
that's unfortunate. It's not.
Yeah. Well, and then, so we also, it's not even just that. We also have, Damian Harris, who we'll have to monitor him as well. He wasn't at practice today. He's dealing with a concussion. So if he hasn't cleared yet, or Ramondre Stevenson, we could be staring at Brandon Bolden, who's a starting running back, he's only 4,500. So we have some, quite a few little different value plays pockets that I think that we could be looking at too, where maybe you pay up for one and pay down at another spot, because I think there's multiple different options here. For me, in terms of the top guys, I mean, Najee Harris is absolute, and I know he's going to be chalk, and I'm going to be above the field on Najee Harris and one of the best matchups you possibly can get for all running backs. The Jets are just absolutely terrible the Lions are absolutely terrible against running backs on the season. They've allowed 16 total touchdowns to running backs. They've allowed the second most DK points on the slate. And listen, I mean, this is a game where unless the Lions can push them and make this a competitive game, the Steelers are just going to run it right down their throat, right? And they're going to use Najee Harris. And so the fact that Najee Harris is still only 7,900, I think that's still too cheap for him. He should be in the upper 8K range, in my opinion, because of his incredible usage that he gets. So he is a definite for me. The other one is Jonathan Taylor. Absolutely love him against Jacksonville. He has really just been a monster over the really like the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season. Last week, he was the number 2 overall scoring. He has been, let me put it this way, he has been a top 7 running back every week since week 5. So he has been as consistent as they come. His ceiling is incredible. And he's still, to me, 8,100 still isn't all that bad to ask for, considering the upside that he brings. Sorry, I got sidetracked by Russ or by Albert Wilson, not House Conlon. Love it, good old Bert. Anyways, so Jonathan Taylor, I love both of them. I definitely agree on the Dalvin Cook call. So really gonna have to make a decision here between Najee, Dalvin Cook, and Jonathan Taylor. And I like all these guys are in great spots because I think it's gonna lower the ownership a little bit. They're gonna cannibalize each other in terms of paying the guys we're paying up for. And then that brings me over, 100% agree on Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is going to have no ownership whatsoever. He's coming off a terrible game. He's been very hit or miss this year. But at only 6,900 against Seattle, I'm not worried about that with Aaron Rodgers back. So I do like Aaron Jones. Now, James Conner is going to be interesting because I think he's also going to be heavily chalky this week at 6,300. But it's going to be tough not to at least have some interest in him against Carolina. Without Edmund last week, he played 76% of the snaps. He carried the ball 21 times for 96 yards. He also was targeted 5 times for 77 yards and 3 touchdowns, which is a big boost considering where he was. Because before, with Chase Edmonds active, he was seeing only a 3.7% target share. Now, he comes in, and I think he got almost 20% of the target share in his absence. Now, Benjamin is there. You mentioned him. But James Conner is likely going to carry most of the rock here. And it's a matchup against Carolina. Now, I will say this. I think if you are just looking at the base level stuff, because Carolina's run defense has been good this year, they have allowed the 7th fewest fantasy points or DK points to running backs. But they have really started to slip over the last 4 weeks. And if you dig a little bit deeper, they've allowed the 10th most rushing yards over the last 4 weeks, right around 126 per game. So I do think James Conner, who's going to see all of the look, I don't mind going there, but just know that he is going to be pretty chalky. And I think there's some directions we could go to get off that chalk. Because I do think Cordarrelle Patterson, the Falcons have finally been smart, and it's like a team has finally figured out how to use this guy. Because he is so dynamic in so many different ways. Now, he's not a guy who's got to get 15, 16 carries, but he's got to get, 8 to 10 carries. But he's just going to be heavily utilized as a pass catcher. And without Calvin Ridley, all they have is Kyle Pitts to throw the ball to. They're utilizing him in that way, which makes him, that $6,600 price tag not that crazy to pay up for, which I will say this has been one of the hardest things for me to kind of let go of this year, because every week it's like, I'm not paying that much for Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm not playing Cordarrelle Patterson, but he just continues to produce. And sometimes you just got to let go of your priors and just, understand that this is where this guy's at. And so I had his price tag with the touches that he sees. It's hard not to like him. I want to talk about Antonio Gibson. I have interest in Antonio Gibson at 5,500. That is an extremely cheap price tag for him. Now, I get it. He has not been the guy that we all wanted him to be this year. However, he's still getting about 60% of the opportunities in this backfield, seeing about 16 touches in this backfield. And he's actually been rather efficient with the touches that he's been given. He has a 36.7% juke rate, which is 13th among all running backs, and he's 15th in yards created on the season and 27th in yards created per touch. Now, again, much like the James Conner situation, I look at Antonio Gibson, and first things first, you see, oh, man, they're playing the Bucs run defense. The Bucs run defense is great, right? But again, if you dig a little bit deeper, they've allowed over 100 rushing yards at 3 straight games prior to their bye. They've allowed the 9th most rushing yards at a clip of 131 per game. Over the last 4 weeks. So their run defense has started to crack a little bit. And Dalvin Cook, I think if he's out, that's going to be a big problem for that run defense again. And so Antonio Gibson at only 5,500, he's going to have no ownership. Nobody's going to want to play him. I kind of had some interest there as a little bit of leverage off some of these guys in that 6K range and some of these other guys that are going to be a little bit below him. At only 5,500, I like targeting Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, my counter argument to that is he's only exceeded 3 targets in a game once this year.
Right, and so if this game gets out of control, then
it's going to be game scripted out.
Yeah, which would be the only concern with it. That would be the one thing you mentioned. But if you like this game can at least stay close, then I think then Antonio Gibson becomes interesting.
Yeah, I mean, at 5,500, he's explosive enough that he can pretty much house it from anywhere on the field, right? So, like you said, he's been efficient with his touches. I mean, what was it, the one game? I don't even remember what team they were playing, but he housed one of his receptions for like 70 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. And got there, got over 20 points pretty much all on one play. So, I mean, that's what you get when you play him. I mean, he's not going to run 25 times for 125 yards. You're going to need that one explosive play for a long touchdown for him to get there. But I mean, you know that going into playing him, that's what you need and what you're looking for. So, I mean, I don't hate it.
And then other than that, at the running back position, you know, like we already mentioned with some of these cheap guys, if Zach Moss is ruled out, I don't mind Devin Singletary at 4,700 because the Jets, you know, we talked about the Lions, excuse me, being a terrible run defense. Well, they don't have nothing on the Jets. The Jets allow 40.6 DK points a game. The next closest is the Lions, but that's at 31.2. They allow almost 9 DK points more per game than the next closest. The problem is, how many opportunities are they going to really see, right, with this Jets? Because we know that the Bills aren't really going to run the ball, right? That's not what they do. I'm going to say this, though. One thing that I've kind of noticed with the Bills that's been interesting is that teams have kind of adapted the same idea of two high safeties, limiting everything, not allowing them to do what they want to do, much like the Chiefs have seen, right? And which is why we've seen Cole Beasley really go off every the last couple of weeks. Stephon Diggs really hasn't had, you know, a monster Stephon Diggs type game. We haven't seen, you know, even Emmanuel Sanders has been limited because teams are starting to adapt to this stuff and not allowing these offenses to do some of these things. And so, but the question is, much like the Chiefs, will they adapt and choose to run the ball, which they have the opportunity to? The problem is that they have Josh Allen, who will just run the ball himself. And so I don't mind Devin Singletary at his price because as long as Zach Moss is out, because he's only $4,700 in a matchup against the Jets. So I don't mind getting to him either. But, you know, when you have Dearness Johnson, if Nick Chubb is out at the same price, I think it's going to be hard not to get to him.
Yeah, and if we get Chubb out and Moss out, the chalk bill is going to be just play Singletary and Dearness and pay up for all the wide receivers and quarterbacks. And you can be very different paying up a running back at that point. You know, maybe fading one of or both of those guys. Because, I mean, I just put – while you were talking, I pulled up the running back projected ownerships that we have early in the week. That I have access to early in the week. And Christian McCaffrey checks in at 4%. So it's like everybody wants to play, like you said, James Conner's up there at the top, Austin Eckler, Ezekiel Elliott, Jonathan Taylor, Najee Harris, James Conner. All those guys are checking in as the highest – most popular guys, and then Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey are kind of getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. So especially if we get the Chubb news and then if Zach Moss were to be out, those guys' ownership takes another hit because everybody's going to play the cheap running backs and they're not going to get up to these high-priced running backs. So, I think, you know, that news can make a pretty obvious contrarian tournament build just from a macro perspective on roster construction.
Yeah, and I think some of that could end up being a trap. Because like we mentioned, I don't mind Devin Singletary, but you know, we're still talking about a Bills team that just doesn't want to run the football. And you also have Josh Allen who's got to run the football. And so it does make it a little bit of a thin play on this slate. And then with Dearness Johnson, I mean, yes, he had the one really big game that he had earlier in the year where he got the start. And kind of exploded. He's probably going to be the only guy there. And at 4,700, I'm not saying that I'm going to fade him completely because you're going to have some, I feel like. But if you want to be contrarian and go underweight on it, I don't hate it either because there's a lot of really good running back plays to pay up for this week. And so
I think, I think I like Josh Allen more if Moss sits as opposed to Singletary because, I mean, Allen becomes the goal line back even more so, right? And they're not going to give Singletary 20 touches. Like, they're just not. Allen will just throw more, and he'll get more high-value touches near the goal line, I would assume.
Yeah. So, anyways, other than that, I don't really have – I think I guess a few other guys. I do think Javonte Williams at 5K. I have interest in Javonte Williams every week because he's so damn efficient with his touches, and he can rip off a couple touchdowns. He's involved as a pass catcher as well. So he is obviously capped in terms of that because of Melvin Gordon's involvement in the offense. But he's still only 5K, so it's not egregious. And, you know, like we've mentioned, Philly's run defense is nothing to be afraid of. And so at 5K, don't really mind him either at that price tag. And, you know, at a home matchup as well. So I don't mind him either. But do you have any other running backs you want to hit on, or do you want to jump over to wide receiver?
No, I think we pretty much touched on the majority of the guys that are in contention this week.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, so at wide receiver, we have, you know, no Devontae. I mean, you know, Davante Adams before COVID, I mean, he was at almost 8,900. I mean, he was super expensive. Now he's only 7,900 this week, which is a pretty big discount. Then you have A.J. Brown at 7,800, Justin Jefferson at 7,700, Terry McLaurin at 7,600, Stephon Diggs at 7,500, Chris Godwin, which we're not sure if he's going to play with a foot injury, at 7,100. CeeDee Lamb at 7K, Keenan Allen at 7K, Mike Evans at 6,900, Deontay Johnson at 6,800, which is just incredibly too cheap, especially with what it sounds like no Chase Claypool this week. So it's, you know, if he was already seeing a ton of targets before, without Chase Claypool, he is just going to be absolutely peppered with targets. And then you have DK Metcalf at 6,800, Adam Thielen at 6,700, DeAndre Hopkins at 6,700. Which is really cheap as well. Mike Williams at 6,600. Tyler Lockett at 6,500. Claypool, like I mentioned, at 6,400. Michael Pittman at only 6,300. I'll talk about that. I have no fucking idea why he's still only $6,300. That is a misprice for somebody who has been as dominant as he has been over the last, what, month of the season. I mean, you look at his production, 17.4, 30.6. 22.5, he had the 5.8, and then 20.9. I mean, the guy has been on a run, and he's still only $6,300. Like, all right, sounds good with that. And then DJ Moore, 6,300. Amari Cooper, 6,200. Antonio Brown, we'll have to see with. It sounded like he was in a walking boot, that he wasn't going to at all. Then all of a sudden the next day they said he shed it, but he still hasn't practiced. He was a non-participant today. So I don't know if he plays or not. I would lean towards no. But he's only 6,100, and then Devontae Smith is only 5,900. So wide receiver, I think, is pretty interesting this week with some of these builds. I have some guys that I will hit on, but who do you like this week?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much touched on a good chunk of the guys up top, and I won't really dive in a lot on, you know, many of these guys because, I mean, they're good plays for very, like, for obvious reasons, right? Like, they're the alphas on their teams. Like, I don't need to tell you to play Mike Evans with possibly no Chris Godwin against Washington. But I will say, going kind of down to the cheaper range, I will not have a roster without Tyler Johnson on it this week, most likely. I mean, he's 3,500, something like that. 3,300 against Washington, and he saw 6 targets last week. Gronk's banged up. Godwin's probably not going to play. No AB. He is pretty much going to be the number two guy in this offense behind only Mike Evans this week. 3,300 for a guy catching passes in that kind of role who's actually talented. Like, Tyler Johnson is a talented wide receiver. He's just been stuck behind these really good wide receivers on Tampa Bay. So catching a guy with that talent, catching passes from Tom Brady at that price, I think is pretty much in contention for lock button for me. Outside of that, I mean, I'm going to try to get all my exposure from those games that we talked about, like Minnesota, LAC, Indy. I think Pittman's too cheap. I agree. I totally agree with your analysis there. The Dallas Atlanta game, Amari Cooper, why is he $6,200 against Atlanta? That's a misprice. I mean, he was $5,700 last week and everybody played him, and he caught, he caught 2 passes for almost 40 yards on like the first drive and then didn't catch another ball for pretty much the rest of the game. So $6,200 is way too cheap for a guy that can score 35 points on any given week. He's boom or bust, but I mean, that's what you're getting out of him when you play him. both Lockett and Metcalf, they get the Russell Wilson bump this week, but their prices don't really reflect it as they're both below 7K. So both of those guys are definitely interesting, and they come from one of the games that we talked about, wanting to have heavy exposure to. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the Pittsburgh situation yet if Claypool's out. I'm not really sure how many more targets Deontay Johnson can get. I mean, he's already getting, pretty much almost 15 a game with Claypool. So I don't see that getting a big bump to 20. And Claypool really hasn't been commanding a ton of targets on a weekly basis. I mean, you're looking at 5, 5, 7, and 6 over his last 4 games. So, I mean, those are going to be pretty much spread out across James Washington and the Muth is Luth, Pat Freiermuth. And they've been running, a bunch of multiple tight end sets as well. Like Zach Gentry has been getting on the field, whoever that guy is. I just think Pittsburgh is going to do some weird things. And I'm not as confident that, I can project a notable boost to Deontay Johnson. And I mean, at 6,800 for a guy who's never exceeded 29 DraftKings points in a game, that price honestly feels a little steep to me when you have Mike Evans, who we know can go for, 35 fantasy points on any given week because he's got 100-yard and multiple touchdown upside. CeeDee Lamb is right there. Keenan Allen's right there. Stephon Diggs is only 700 more, and we haven't seen him explode yet, but we know that he's got over 40 upside in him, which he scored last year in a game. So, I mean, outside of that, like I said, I'm just going to get a lot of my exposure to these games that we talked about at the quarterback position, and then I will have a ton of Tyler Johnson exposure as well. Are there any other cheap guys that you're on? I guess Jamal Agnew is one worth mentioning as well. I mean, 5, 12, 6, and 7 targets over the last 4, playing against Indy, likely trailing. Indy's better run defense than they are pass defense. I think he's definitely in the conversation, but is there anybody else that you have circled as somebody that I'm missing that's, standing out a ton to you?
Well, okay. So I think that for me, one, with the Deontay Johnson call, it's one, the insane amount of targets that he sees. I mean, he's almost a lock almost every week to see double-digit targets. And so it's hard to shy away from that. And he's kind of changed a little bit this year, where last year he was very much a short, intermediate guy, right? Very low A dot, was never really getting any deep targets. That's changed this year. He's actually top 15 in deep targets this year, and they've hit on some of those. With that being said, and now you don't have Chase Claypool, who's another field stretcher out there. I mean, I think then you see even more of that with Deontay Johnson. He's shown the ability to be able to do that. So I think he can hit his ceiling a little bit easier, and especially with the amount of targets that he's seeing. I mean, he's going to be really the only guy. But if Chase Claypool is out, I also think that somebody, you could look at somebody like James Washington, who is probably going to be the number two wide receiver in that offense. So I think he would be in play as well. And I mean, if you're looking at him, I mean, he's only 3,500 on DraftKings. And so he would be somebody that I think that you could pay down for in a spot there. But a few guys that I do want to hit on this week that I think that are interesting at wide receiver. One is Julio Jones. He was limited today, but it sounds like it was more of a maintenance day because he wasn't on the injury report at all yesterday on Wednesday. But we kind of saw him be a little bit more involved last week coming back into this offense. But on the season, he only has a 17.4% target share, but so a lot of that is because of when Derrick Henry was healthy and him being able to kind of them not really needing to throw the ball. That's not the case anymore. Now, the only worry would be is New Orleans, are they really going to push them enough to make them really have to throw the ball a ton? But he does have 27.7% market share of the air yards, and he still is a guy who could get it done. He has a 16.0 yards per reception, which is 12th most among all wide receivers. He's 6th in yards per target and has a 2.47 yards per out run, which is 13th among all wide receivers. And the Saints also allow the 3rd most receiving yards to wide receivers. And he's probably going to see Marshon Lattimore, which is a good thing because Marshon Lattimore has been fucking terrible this year. Like, absolutely dog shit. And he has allowed 26 receptions for 522 yards and 5 touchdowns on the year with 121.9 passer rating and is allowing almost 16 fantasy points per game, which is terrible if you didn't know. So, I like Julio Jones at his price tag. I think that this could be a really big bounce back spot for Julio, which obviously I still love A.J. Brown as well. But if you want to pay down and get some leverage off of A.J. Brown, because I think A.J. Brown is going to be popular, I like Julio Jones, and he's going to see a lot of Marshon Lattimore, which I've said is just terrible this year. And so from there, I like Devontae Smith. We talked about him. You know, if you want to do a one-off with him, everything's kind of aligned. And him going off last week really wasn't all that surprising, right? Because he's really just been unlucky. He had three touchdowns that were called back to penalties. But he gets a good matchup. He's likely going to see a lot of Ronald Darby, who's allowed 18 receptions for 282 yards and 1 touchdown and 15.7 yards per reception allowed. 1 touchdown with 102.4 passer rating this year, and he's been targeted 19% of the time. But Devontae Smith has 41.3 market share of the air yards, which is 6th most among all wide receivers. He's 11th in total air yards. He has 13 deep targets on the year. So I like getting to Devontae Smith as well at his price. And then the guy that I want to talk about that I think is also really in play is Donovan Peoples-Jones. We've seen him in 3 straight weeks really have put up some really nice weeks with him. And he's only, I think, 4,800. He scored 12. 26.1 and 16.6 over the last 3 games. He's averaged 5 receptions, 85.6 receiving yards, and a touchdown per game over those 3 games. And he's going to see his fair amount of J.C. Jackson, who is very much like Marcus Peters in the sense of he's a ball-hawking corner. Right? Because on the year, he's allowed 31 receptions for 451 yards, which is not good. But he has 5 interceptions, and he's only allowing like a 60.1 passer rating or something like that. So he's very much much of a ball hawk type of guy. He's going to go out. He's going to try to get picked, kind of like Trevon Diggs, but he can be beat, right? Because he's a gambler. He's going to make those mistakes. But he's also going to see Jalen Mills, who has been terrible, who's allowed 24 receptions for 300 yards, 4 touchdowns at 116.7 passer rating. So I do like Donovan Peoples-Jones, especially if they don't have Nick Chubb, because I think they can be forced to throw the ball a little bit more. So at Donovan Peoples-Jones' price tag, I do like him as well. Obviously, Odell Beckham is gone, and so it's him and Jarvis Landry. I could see the the Patriots try to take away Jarvis Landry. And I think that could be big things for Donovan Peoples-Jones, who has a pretty immense upside. We've already seen it once this year with his 29.1 that he had a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely on board with those. And even the Tennessee call, that's one of the ones I think I like as well with Julio. I mean, Tennessee's going to have to throw the ball more. They're not just going to run Adrian Peterson into the line over and over and over again. Not going to be able to do that and have success. So, I mean, the volume I would anticipate is going to go up. That we didn't see the volume go up last week because they somehow played with the lead. I know there was a defensive, you know, a lot of good defense played by Tennessee against the Rams. But at some point, Tannehill's going to have to start throwing the ball more. And we've seen teams shy away from targeting Lattimore, especially with Mike Evans, you know, recently. When Tampa Bay played them, you know, they targeted everybody else and didn't really go with Evans against Lattimore. So, yeah, if A.J. Brown's going to be on him, then definitely think Julio gets a bump to volume this week.
Yeah. So really quickly, we just got a super chat from Derek. Still got to definitely answer his question. Anybody drop a super chat, we're going to answer it. This is not DFS, but that's fine. That's perfectly okay. Just got offered Woods for Hopkins, full PPR. Do I take it?
I would keep Hopkins, especially with OBJ signing with the Rams. I think things just get muddied. Outside of Cooper Kupp, I think things stay muddied.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this does not help Robert Woods. Robert Woods been okay this year. He has not been because Cooper Kupp has just went full nuclear this year. So, yes, I would not. I would keep DeAndre Hopkins here. Because, one, I think you're selling too low on DeAndre Hopkins anyway. So
yeah, he just missed the game with an injury. Somebody's trying to capitalize on that, like trying to, you know, take advantage of somebody that is frustrated that Hopkins is not playing. But, yeah, I would definitely keep Hopkins.
Yeah, so anyways, appreciate that, Derek. As always, really appreciate any super chat or any support we get. So I do appreciate that. So back to the wide receivers really quickly, and then we can move over to tight end. Michael Gallup. Do you have any interest in Michael Gallup at only 4K? It sounds like he's on pace to return this week. If we like this game a lot, I think, you know, paying down to Michael Gallup at 4K, which we haven't seen in a long time, who is going to be back this week. Do you have interest in him?
His role is unknown going into this game, but I will say there are a couple things playing in his favor here. We've seen Dallas, you know, involve both tight ends, but Blake Jarwin is on IR. So that leaves us with just Schultz, which I would expect a continuous 11 personnel. And Cedric Wilson is also nursing an injury, and he's in non-contact jerseys in practice. So if Cedric Wilson were to miss this game, it kind of forces Gallup to play more snaps than maybe they want him to play in his first game back. But I mean, 4K, I mean, when you play Michael Gallup, you're playing him under the anticipation that he's only going to get a handful of targets anyways, right? That he's going to turn five targets into, you know, four catches for 80 yards and a touchdown, which gets you to 18 DraftKings points at 4K. And I mean, that's something you can live with. So, I mean, you're playing him for a very high efficiency, low volume role as it is. So absolutely. And if there is, you know, a way that this game shoots out and you're stacking this game up and there is no Cedric Wilson, there is no Blake Jarwin for Dallas, then I think it just forces Gallup to play more snaps than maybe Dallas wants him to.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to have some interest in Michael Gallup at only 4K. Other than that, I think Deontay Harris is an interesting option because DK is a PPR site. They seem to be targeting him a lot on the underneath routes, and so he's only 4K. So I think he would be somewhere that you could go to. I don't think he has an incredibly high ceiling, but at only 4K, if he can get you like 12 to 15 DK points, it's not the end of the world. It's not great either. I don't know if that's, you know, tournament winning upside, but I do think that he is an interesting option. And we already talked about, obviously, Tyler Johnson is 100% a play, especially if Chris Godwin's out and Antonio Brown's out. Like, he's going to see an incredible amount of a huge bump here in that offense. I have interest in him even if Chris Godwin plays. And so I think he's definitely in play. I think that I already mentioned James Washington. He's only 3,500. He could be the number two wide receiver in this offense. And then Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Shout out Ryan. You know, that's like Ryan's boy. It's a spirit animal. He just absolutely loves Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Anytime you can play him, he's going to play him. But I do think he makes for an interesting option in this game, this Green Bay-Seattle game that we have some interest in. As even if it's just a one-off, you know, getting exposure to this game at 3,500, I think that's just too cheap for what his upside brings. And a matchup that I'm not really all that concerned about with the Seattle pass defense here. So I do like that. Other than that, do you have any other anybody else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good on my end at wide receiver.
All right, so let's jump over to tight end. We don't have Travis Kelce. We don't have Darren Waller because they play each other on Sunday Night Football. So we don't have those two on the slate. We also do not have George Kittle because they play Monday night against the Rams. And so now we have Kyle Pitts at 5,800, TJ Hockenson at 5,500, Dalton Schultz at 5K, Dallas Goedert at 4,700, Zach Ertz at 4,600, Dawson Knox, who's supposed to be back this week at 4,500, Noah Fant at 4,300, Hunter Henry at 4,100. And like I said, Logan Thomas could possibly be returning this week at 4K. And you have Pat Freiermuth at 3,900. So tell me why I shouldn't just lock in 100% Pat Freiermuth.
I'm not going to be the person that argues against that. Absolutely not. I mean, 3,900 against Detroit with possibly no Chase Claypool. I mean, that's just one more red zone option that gets taken away from Big Ben. And we know that, you know, James Washington, you know, so Claypool missed week four and Washington, you know, stepped in and had his highest total of the year, target total, and he had five. But I mean, Washington's always been more of the deep threat, not really a red zone option for them. So we know Big Ben has already taken a liking to Freiermuth down and close by the goal line. So I mean, if you remove Claypool from that equation, it's pretty much Deontay, Najee, and Freiermuth, and Freiermuth only being 3,900 against Detroit, you have to have heavy interest in that. So, really, it's a three-man show for me at tight end this week. I like Freiermuth a ton and will probably end up with the most exposure to him. And then Noah Fant, the worst matchup or the best matchup, the worst defense against tight ends against Philly. And then Kyle Pitts against Dallas is the obvious one, a little bit more expensive. But those are the three guys that I like. But, yeah, Freiermuth, I mean, I'm not going to argue against just lock-buttoning him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just an incredible play, you know, coming off the – his best game of the year last week, 5 for 43 and 2 touchdowns on only 6 targets. And I think that number could go up. So I definitely like him, you know, not talking about the obvious guys, because I think that, you know, TJ Hockenson, you know, Dalton Schultz, Dallas Goedert, all those guys are kind of in play. But Dan Arnold, hey, you keep giving me opportunities to talk about Dan the man, and I'm going to keep talking about him. Because once again, another 7 targets last week. 4 for 60. You know, he hasn't found the end zone yet. Let Dan find the end zone and, you know, fuck around and find out what Dan Arnold can do if he can find the end zone. Because three of the last four weeks, he has double-digit DK points, and he's only 3,400. And so I'm always going to have interest in Dan Arnold, you know, the show favorite, the GOAT. Dan Arnold at only 3,500 this week. So I like him, especially in a matchup against Indy. Indy's pass defense is where you really want to target them, is through the air, because they are a pass funnel. And so I do like getting some Dan Arnold at 3,500. I think a kind of a sneaky play this week could end up being OJ Howard, because if they're going to miss Chris Godwin and they're not going to have Antonio Brown and Gronk misses, like, yeah, who the hell are they going to throw the ball to besides Mike Evans? Yeah, I know Tyler Johnson, but I think O.J. Howard, we could see, because we saw from him, he had that week 6 game against Philly where he had 6 receptions, 49 yards, and a score. He's only 2,700.
You're not wrong.
And I think he could be somebody that they utilize a lot more in this game against Washington. And so I like O.J. Howard. Now, again, if Chris Godwin plays and Gronk somehow plays, then okay, then I'm probably – you know, not as enticed to play him. But if we don't have Chris Godwin and we don't have Rob Gronkowski, like, they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody here. And so I like O.J. Howard at only 2,700.
Once again, you are not wrong. I like that call. I'm on board.
So, but other than that, like, Yeah, that's it. That's the list. Because, you know, I'm not really messing around with anything else here. But, you know, Tyler Conklin, I guess I could bring him up too. He's 3,400. He's gotten more involved in the offense as well. Seven targets in each of the last 2 weeks as well for Tyler Conklin. So he also just not found the end zone. If he could find the end zone, it could be wheels up for him too. So he is in play too. But for me, I think it's either you play Kyle Pitts or you just pay down and you drop down in the lower range in the 3K range and save money. That's kind of where I come in.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
All right, well then let's just jump over to defense. So let's just do what we always do, and let's just go right down to the bottom.
Yep.
So last week we were all over the Chiefs, right? And that paid off. Chiefs defense, I think, scored 12, 14 DK points. They were 2,300. The other defense that I got on was the Browns. And I played a ton of the Browns last week because I was looking at a couple of different things in that Cincinnati matchup where the Browns were top four in adjusted sack rate and the Bengals were top five in adjusted sack rate allowed. And so I just, you know what, the Browns were, I think, 2,400 and I played a ton of them. So it really worked out. This is what I do every week. I do not pay up for defenses ever. I don't even look in the 3K range, the 4K. I'm damn sure never going to play 4, 5K for a fucking defense. You can get all the way the fuck out of here with that. That's not going to happen. So I'm always going to pay down. So who are we going with this week?
There's one clear cut, and that's Carolina at 2,400 against Arizona. They are number one in adjusted sack rate. And I'm going to assume that Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are once again going to sit this game out, considering neither of them have practiced. And it was pretty much a really long shot that either of them was going to play last week. So it just doesn't look good that they're going to play. And, you know, even if they do play, I'm going to assume that they're playing at less than 100%. And Carolina's gotten a ton of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And Arizona, you know, they like to throw the ball a lot. So, I think Carolina at 2,400, whether Kyler plays or not, is going to be the defense that I gravitate towards.
All right. So you want to go ahead and make this one?
I will say I can also make a case for Detroit. Pittsburgh, you know, that offense hasn't looked good this year, and Big Ben is completely immobile. Especially if Claypool were to be out. Like, we do like the offensive pieces, you know, we like Freiermuth, you know, Najee Harris is obviously in play and Deontay Johnson. I mean, again, though, that offense, you know, it just might not be as good as it typically is. And Detroit could be interesting from that standpoint. And we've seen Big Ben, you know, make a ton of mistakes this year. And it's just, like I said, if he gets any sort of pressure, he's not getting out of it because he can't move more than 2 feet. Without falling down and tripping over his own 2 feet. So I think Detroit would be my other punt all the way at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. You know, that game on Monday night where, what was it, 3rd and 1, I think. It was like 30-some seconds left in the game to, you know, if they pick up the first down, they can pretty much ice the game from there and they don't have to worry about it. And you see Big Ben try to jump into a time capsule and run to the outside and pick up the first down. And that was like my dad out there trying to run on an NFL field is what it looked like. And he just got completely blown up, had no chance. I'm like, you have Najee fucking Harris.
And yeah. We're calling a QB key.
Yeah. Let's do it. And we're going to run. We're going to do an outside zone and see how this plays out for me. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah, I mean, he is a complete statue back there. So, no, I do not mind getting to the Lions. So, other than that, you know, I don't really – there's nobody else that really, like, ultimately stands out to me. I just think that isn't, like, in a great spot. Like, I don't mind the Vikings. They're top five in adjusted sack rate as well. But I don't really want to – mess with that.
Cody, he says, nice to hear a little Steelers hate that isn't coming from him.
I know, but Cody, listen, you had to see that play. And this is what makes it even worse that I was so frustrated about was because, and I know people don't give a shit about, you know, our fantasy teams, but I'm going to tell you anyways because it's our show. I was in my home league. I had Deontay Johnson, actually, I had to play Allen Robinson, and then I also had the Steelers D, right? And so all, and I was down by 27. And so I'm like, oh man, I don't know if this is going to happen. I felt good about it, but as the game went on, I didn't feel great about it. But then all of a sudden, Deontay started getting going. Allen Robinson, they hit Allen Robinson on the big play. And so I take a 1-point lead over the guy I'm playing, but it's right at that end of the game. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, this is what's going to happen. They're going to kick this field goal. The Bears are going to have just enough time to make it, right? And so, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to lose because they're going to hit some the cheap plays down the field. And, you know, my points are going to drop because of yards. And so I'm sitting, I'm like, oh, my God. So when on that third and one play, when I see fucking Big Ben run, I was like, God damn it. Like, what are you doing? And so sure enough, that's what happened. Kick a field goal. The Bears hit 3 or 4 plays. Boom. I drop down. I lose by 2 points. So fuck Big Ben.
That's pain. Next time. Yeah. That's pain.
Yeah. So anyways. Other than that, I think we should just go ahead and build this team.
Let's do it.
So, starting off this week, where are we starting at?
Oh, man. This is tough. This is definitely not a single entry week. You're going to want to have exposure to a couple of these games from a stacking standpoint. But I'm going to take the build an interesting way, and I'm going to let you pick QB. I'm going to go with CMC.
You know what? We're just going to go a little wild here. I'm going to lock in Jonathan Taylor.
All right. And I will plug in Tyler Johnson. This is going to get really weird really fast.
Just the way I like it. I don't know who the fuck to go with a quarterback here with the way we started this. Let's go Tom Brady.
Okay. Then let's also play Mike Evans.
Let's do this. We can figure out where we're going to go. And let's lock in the Panthers at 2,400.
All right.
So that leaves 4,433 remaining with a wide receiver, tight end, and flex left. Do we just lock in Pat Freiermuth?
Not necessarily. Because I think... Okay, so let's try Freiermuth here. But if we can't get to something we want, then I'm okay with triple stacking Brady with OJ Howard. So try a Freiermuth. That leaves 4,700 for wide receiver and flex. And if you want to assume Chubb is out, then we can just plug in Dearness for 4,700 as well, which would leave you 4,700 with wide receiver. Which is a very interesting range.
Only 100 away from
Donovan. Well, that's an easy fix. You just play the Lions at defense.
Well, let me see what else, if there's anybody else here that I'd feel comfortable with.
A 4,500 range is pretty gross. I mean, I guess Gallup would be the next guy.
That's kind of what I was looking at. Let's go. Let's lock in Michael Gallup. At least, well, and do we want to do anything else? Do we want to tinker anything, change anything? We saw, well, that's 700, or we can just leave it, which this is going to be a very different build anyway.
Do you like – I'm assuming Chubb's out. Who do you like more, Gibson or Dearness? Because you can get – playing the Lions D, you can get up to Gibson. Over Dearness. You can also play Julio with Panthers D. I guess if you're playing Dearness at flex, you kind of have to think about it from a raw points perspective, right? Like, does he get you the 25 you need, or does he end up with like 15 at high ownership? And I mean, I think that since we have a build where we have two running backs that we like a lot, and we're using our value at wide receiver and tight end defense, that we don't need to play Dearness, and that we just get leveraged by fading him and play Julio here.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Either going Julio or, I mean, I think even Jerry Jeudy would be.
Yeah, I'm good with either of those. You can pick whichever one you want. And we can keep Panthers D. It'll zero it out.
All right, let's lock in Julio. So the team is Tom Brady, McCaffrey, Taylor, Tyler Johnson, Mike Evans, Michael Gallup, Freiermuth, Julio, and Panthers D with zero remaining. I am locking that in right now. So I think this week is going to be an interesting week. I think there's we're going to have some value, some serious value at running backs, some people that people are going to call free squares, which is the one term I just absolutely hate. But anyways, but I think overall this week, I think there's a lot of different ways you could go. And I think this week is going to be pretty interesting. So that being said, I appreciate everybody checking out the show. I appreciate everybody sticking around. You can follow Maddie at MaddieDFS on Twitter. You can follow me at FantasyRat13. Appreciate everybody rocking with us in the chat. And, you know, until next week, or before I go, hold on. Be sure to jump into our Discord. It's absolutely free. You can find it in the Discord or in the description of any one of our videos over on YouTube. Go to thefantasyauthority.com or go to the Fantasy Authority on YouTube, and you can find just click one of our videos, click the description, and you can jump into our Discord. It's absolutely free. And so I don't know what to tell you. I will say this, the Discord is always popping all day, all night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. There's still people in there talking. So, and it's absolutely free. You know, I'm not asking for anything. So I hope to see some people over there. If not, but like I said, I hope everybody has a good weekend. I hope everybody wins some money this weekend. And until next week, we will see you all next week for our week 11, 1 week closer to Thanksgiving build, where we'll get Ryan Williams back on the show and maybe some other people as well. But until then, have a great weekend. Let's win some money. Peace.
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war about you. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a great boy. Yeah, that's a great little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. You can be like a book on a shelf back. You can be boy, yeah. And you can be little man.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.